Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
There's faith in the room right now, but there's also opposition. There's resistance against the faith that is already in this room. You believe. You have faith, that's not the question, but there is a resistance here tonight. There's nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to be afraid of. Yes. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When we were worshiping and praising and singing, I could feel that opposition just enter this room, unlike I have felt. I just began to pray and I began to say, God, I push back every spirit of darkness, every spirit of opposition. Now, you may not know this amazing apostolic man and woman, Brother Sister Corbin. I got to be with them in Bangladesh a little over a year ago now, and you won't find a more apostolic couple than Brother and Sister Corbin. And I feel very directed of the Lord to tell you that a couple of the spirits of opposition that would try to hinder us tonight comes from their walk with God, their apostolic walk with God, because every devil of sickness, every devil of hell is terrified of what's about to happen in this place tonight. Now, I didn't hear an audible voice, and this church knows me well, that I don't have to give a lot of preface and qualifications of anything, but I felt the Lord spoke to me and said that when this man and woman entered into this region, it stirred up the opposition in this area. But there is a church right here that the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So we're going to take a moment, and if I have to preach for a few minutes, I'll do it. But we're going to take a moment and do. I felt like the Lord gave me instruction and said, stop pushing back the darkness. You don't need to push back darkness. When you have the light in you, you just let the light out. You just let the light out, and the darkness has to flee. Darkness cannot stay where light is released. If you've got the Holy Ghost right now, you've got the way, the truth, and the life. You've got the light of the world. You've got the powers of heaven. I want you to lift up your head and open your mouth and let out the power of the Holy Ghost. Let your light fill this place. Let your light fill this place. Let your light fill this place. From every corner to corner, from wall to wall, from the floor to the roof, all over this place. Let the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I read a psalm earlier today and I couldn't find it really quickly, but it came to me as you were speaking that said God answers the prayer requests that pleases him. And when this man of God said, I want to see a million souls receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, let me go ahead and tell you like it is, that request pleases God. And God's going to grant that. He's already done it in his time, and the church said amen. Amen. I believe that this church, and this isn't my church at all, but I believe that the church wants to bless an apostolic couple like this financially. But before we go any further, we're going to bless them spiritually with prayer for just a moment. And this church has already blessed me financially to go to Bangladesh. You helped me. You gave an offering that helped me go to Bangladesh and to see the thousands of souls receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which means you had a part in that. It's so easy to become disconnected from what God has done and your place in the kingdom when you weren't the one there seeing it, but you just saw it tonight. The videos that he was showing, I was there because you helped me get there. And people were there because of the finances that were there, but more than even that, some of the things that took place were because some of you were praying and fasting during that crusade, and that happened because we came together as the body of Christ. Another psalm I read said that when the Israelites began to praise God, it said that the land began to bring forth fruit and vegetation. When we praise, God sends new birth and new life. Why don't we just give a praise unto God right now? God, I praise you for the souls that will be born again of the water and of the Spirit. I praise you, mighty God. Amen. Just for a moment, you may be seated very quickly, but I want you to maintain the Spirit of the Lord that we feel. This is only going to take just a moment. I'm just going to share what I felt like the Lord gave me to share. And this goes right along. You don't even understand how much it goes along with what Brother Corbin just spoke in the Holy Ghost. Called him this afternoon and he began to preach all the things I've been preaching to you this last couple weeks. And he said some of it tonight. And I had to stop him. I said, man, you've been preaching my sermons, man. You're preaching it to me right now. Did you hear him tonight talk about hunger? Which he told me on the phone. He said, when I entered this region, I felt tremendous hunger. I told this church over and over, there's hunger here. There's hunger here. I said, that's why I keep coming back. Because this church has always been thankful, but never satisfied and never content. You have remained thankful. And said, God, I thank you, God, for what you have done, but I'm not satisfied with what you have done. I want more. I want more. I'm hungry for more. I'm hungry for more. I'm hungry for more. God, I've seen the miracles. I've seen the demonstration. I've seen people filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. But God, until every soul is saved, I'm going to be hungry for another soul. I'm going to be hungry for more. Until I hear the sound of that trumpet call me home and I get to see your face standing around your throne, I will forever be hungry for more of your presence and more of your glory. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, watch this, must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. I want to just kind of go right to the point because God is already here and I believe that your faith is where already it needs to be to receive what God's about to do. I want to show you something very quickly in two portions of Scripture. In Psalm 77 and verse 16, David is speaking of the miracle that God performed at the Red Sea, which we just talked about on Sunday night. Again, it goes right along with what Brother Corbin just spoke to us about. The time is not tomorrow, the time is now. Remember that? I preached that Sunday morning. The time is right now. We can't look to yesterday and tomorrow. We've got to say, God, right now. Right now. Right now. Somebody say right now.
Right now.
And I preached to you Sunday night that when they faced the Red Sea, that Moses prophesied, he spoke the word of faith and said, now. Amen. Today you shall see the salvation of the Lord.
Yes.
And then the moment he said that, God said, tell him to go forward now.
Uh-huh.
Now. Amen. And I read this psalm in 77:16. It says, the waters saw you. It's speaking of the Red Sea. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you. Everybody say that with me. The waters saw you. They were afraid. The waters were their opposition and their opponent and their obstacle. And he said, see, I've always thought that was a pretty big miracle God did. And David said, it wasn't no big miracle. When the waters saw you, they were afraid. He said, the depths also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Your arrows also flashed about. The voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Verse 19, your way is in the sea. Your path is in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. I want to read it to you in the New Living Translation in verse 19. He says, your road led through the sea. Don't read anymore. Y'all look right here. Y'all going to get to the good part before I got to give you context. I just preached the death of a miracle. That every road to a miracle goes through the valley of a shadow of death. That every road to the miracle of resurrection power leads to a cross of crucifixion. And this church responded and said, we're willing to walk down that path. And this says, your road led through the sea. Your road to our promise led through the sea. Your pathway through the mighty waters. A pathway no one knew was there. Oh, put it back up real quick. Your road led through the sea. Your pathway through the mighty waters. A pathway no one knew was there. He's talking about the road of deliverance and promise and the miraculous. He said, this road to the miraculous went through an ocean.
Yes, it did.
And nobody knew that road even existed. Because when you saw an obstacle, God saw provision. When you saw resistance and an opponent, God said, that's my pathway to the miraculous.
Amen.
You're not hearing me right now. See, it's been very conflicting, and I brought it up several times, probably more than I should have. These dumb crutches, and I think, how could I preach healing when I got crutches, and how could I do this? I think, well, how could Jesus preach salvation when he's hanging on a cross? And how could Paul teach on the gifts of the Spirit when he's in prison?
Amen. That's it.
Because the pathway to the miraculous leads through obstacles that we can't fathom or understand.
Amen.
The pathway to the miraculous in your life is through situations that you thought you would never get through. And God said, you wanted me to take you around. You wanted me to take you over. But my path went right through those waters. You thought crutches would stop you. You thought a wheelchair would stop you. You thought a diagnosis would stop you. That was just my pathway through the Red Sea. What you saw was an obstacle. Woo! Somebody shout yes! That's why the scripture says, without faith, it is impossible to please him, because you can't walk through a pathway in the middle of an ocean with understanding, with logic, with comfort, with complacency, with convenience. You can't do any of that stuff. You can't go to the miraculous with complacency in your heart. You can't go to the miraculous with logic. You've got to have faith and say, God, although I see an ocean in front of me, in my faith, in the eyes of my faith, we walk without sight, but we walk by faith. And what I see in my faith is a doorway to the miraculous. Hallelujah. Put that verse up, verse 6. It says, for he that cometh to God, here's the revelation. There's two little pieces here of revelation. Must believe that he is. Not that you are. How many times have you been held hostage by the doubt of who you are?
Amen. That's it.
He said, if you want to come to God, all you got to do is have faith in that he is.
Amen.
You don't have to have faith in who you are. All you have to do is have faith in who he is. I'm not good enough for healing. Don't matter. He's good enough. I'm not good enough to be anointed. Don't matter. He's good enough. It reminded me and it brought me to this. Well, let me finish that. I can't take this rabbit trail just yet. I got to finish this. It says, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Watch this now. He did not say, I reward those that find me. He said, I reward those that look for me.
Amen.
One of the opponents of resistance that has been in our minds at oftentimes, we thought, I want to go deeper. I want to see more. I want to do this. I want to feel His heartbeat and hear His voice and know His whisper and the things that please and displease God. And I want to be used and I want this and that. And that. Anybody can raise a hand to that desire saying, God, I'm hungry for more. I'm hungry for the miraculous. But yet you've been held hostage by the question of how. How do I get there? How do I find God? How do I find the miraculous? How do I find this? My son, he'll be 3 in April, and I love playing hide-and-go-seek with him. He's gotten a little bit better, but he still kind of got it backwards. He'll say, Daddy, I want to play hide-and-go-seek. And he used to, when he couldn't really talk, he would ask to play hide-and-go-seek like this. He would say, Daddy, 4, 5, 6, 4, 5, 6, just like that. And I know you want to play hide-and-seek. And now he can say it a little bit better. And he said, Daddy, want to play hide-and-seek? You go count. I'll go hide. I said, all right. And I go count, you know, and I'm kind of peeking, you know, because don't want him jumping somewhere he shouldn't be. And sometimes he gets to places I'd never find him, you know. And I'm counting, and he goes and hides. And I'm coming, and I already know kind of where he is. But I'm looking around, looking under the covers, looking under the bed. I'm looking in funny places, you know, in the trash can. Where's Levi? And it don't take but 30 seconds. I'm the one looking for him. And he comes running out and says, here I is.
That's good.
See, you want to find the miraculous and you want to find the deep things of God, the secret things of God. You want to find these things. But the scripture says if you'll draw near to him, he'll come out of his hiding place and draw near to you. See, if some of you will just make up your mind, I don't know how to get there, but I'm going to give it a try. And when you step out by faith, God will show up and say, here I am. You think I'm messing with you? Let me give you one more scripture reference here in Matthew 14. You think you know the story, but let's see if you really do. In verse 22, this was the story after Jesus had fed the 5,000 plus people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And the Bible says in verse 22, immediately Jesus made his disciples to get in the boat and go to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And he went, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was alone there. Verse 24, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Woo! Every force of hell, every force of this world will be contrary to your pursuit of God's direction, of the miraculous. And watch this. In verse 25, it says, now in the fourth watch of the night, which is about 3 or 4 in the morning, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Everybody say that with me. Walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea. I just love how amazing Jesus is. He could have swam out there. He could have hovered out there. He could have flown. He could have just disappeared and shown up on the boat. But he said to them, in essence, I believe he was saying, the thing that's your biggest problem, I'm going to put under my feet. And he went to them walking on the sea to show them his authority and his power. And in verse 26, it says that when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. Now watch for a moment, because they were just about to be introduced to a dimension of the miraculous that no one had ever known before. And the first thing they are resisted with is an opposition of fear. Amen. Because of fear of the unknown. Amen. Remember, I prophesied a week and a half ago, and the Lord spoke to me and said, tonight, if they will come with sacrifice and submission and faith, he said, I will turn their fear of failure into the faith of failure.
That's right. Amen. That's right on.
And so watch this. It says they were afraid and said, it's a ghost. And they cried out because of their fear. And immediately Jesus spoke and said, cheer up. It's just me. It's I. Don't be afraid.
Amen. Whew.
He was saying, I'm here. I'm in the middle of your storm. No sense in wasting your time being afraid anymore. And Peter answered and said to him, watch this. Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. Everybody say that word with me. Come. One word. I'm preaching to you for these few moments the miracle of hunger. Because when you're hungry, all you need is an invitation. And when you're hungry and the invitation doesn't give you details, it don't stall your arrival not one moment. He was hungry to go be with his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he said in the middle of the storm, in fact, watch this. This is just a little piece here. Jesus had commanded them to stay in the boat. Amen. So I love Peter's submission when he didn't jump out of the boat because he was submitted to the first command, stay in the boat. Amen. So he said, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. If you want me to work and walk in the miraculous, command me to get out of this boat. You commanded me to go to church, but I'm ready, God, to take the church to the world. Command me to come. And Jesus had the audacity to tell a human being how to do something that no other human being had ever done except God himself. And he only gave him one word. Come. Because when you want to see the miraculous, it's not how much faith you have. It's how much desire you have to be in his presence. You all right? I'll convince you. I can tell sometimes I have to convince you. And Peter came down out of the boat and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He walked on water. When he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Fear again crept up into his spirit. He was afraid. And the Bible says, beginning to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. Keep it right there. What I felt in the Holy Ghost is there's been people that have tried to step out to be healed or to be used in the miraculous of healing. There's been people that have tried to step out to be delivered or pray for someone else's deliverance. And all of a sudden you've seen what you consider as failure and you have begun to sink in situations that you've tried to step out for the very first time. Some of you have been tried to be delivered from certain things only to acquiesce back to those things. And you have begun to sink. You haven't completely failed. You haven't drowned. You're still here, aren't you? But there have been moments in your faith that you have seen that you have begun to sink. But notice that his focus never left the saving grace of Jesus Christ. It doesn't say he sank. It doesn't say he even breached the water. It just says he began to sink and cried out, Lord, save me. He hadn't fully sank yet, but he was on his way down. And verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him saying, here it is, oh, you of little faith. Y'all missed it. A miracle that no one else had ever done before other than God himself had just been done by a man named Peter with little faith.
Amen.
You know why? Because he didn't walk on water with faith. He walked on water with a hunger to go after Jesus. To walk with Jesus. This kind of relates to that psalm a little bit, doesn't it? When David said, the path that you laid out, the path to the miraculous, was through an ocean, was through the waters. And Peter said, there's a path to the miraculous, but it's on top of an impossible situation. It's through the waters. I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I've got the hunger to do it. And here's the faith of failure. If I fail, I know my God's going to save me. If I sink, I know my God's going to rescue me. He
He said, "You have little faith," verse 32. And when they got back into the boat, the wind ceased. The storm stopped. In verse 33, and those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I'm here to tell you tonight that there's about to be a testimony of your failure. And the testimony is going to be this, that when I kept on going, when I sank, but God picked me back up, when I tried, but I failed, and I reached out for the grace of God, all of a sudden it brought a revelation to my whole family. It brought a revelation to everybody in my boat of who the real Savior is, Jesus Christ. I've been preaching all revival that if you could just make up your mind, I'm going after God. I'm going after His presence. I'm going after His Spirit. I don't need to know all the details. I don't need to have all the direction. But if I can just have one word, an invitation, if I can just have one word that the Lord could speak to me and say, "Come, it's yours. Come out of that boat." My hunger would allow me to see the miraculous in my life. If you could just go after His presence, His Spirit. I'll never forget the very first time I traveled overseas. It was to be with Brother Robinette in Vienna, Austria. I was over. I went to Germany from there, and I was praying. This was years ago, close to 10 years ago or so now. And I was praying, and the Lord spoke. He gave me this vision, and I don't always have these kinds of things happen to me, but gave me this vision of a church in Virginia and showed a dark cloud over this church and said, "There's about to be a death in this church, and it'll be of a child, of a very young child." And I called the pastor. I said, "Man, I'm so sorry to give you this word, but this is what I saw." And I told him. He said, "All right, thank you. I'll go to prayer." And it was the very next morning, I woke up because of the time difference. I missed all his calls, and I woke up and called him back. And in fact, I skipped one part. Excuse me. It was after I gave him that vision, I prayed again. And that same night, the Lord spoke to me again and said, "Call him back and tell him that when this cloud rests over his church, if he will trust in me, I will impart the gift of faith for him to endure through this storm." I said, "All right, God." Called him back, told him that word of faith. He said, "Thank you." And so the next morning, I saw the missed calls, and I called him back. And he said, "My goodness, man, you just won't believe it." He said, "A 2-week-old baby died in the middle of the night." And he said, the mother of the baby doesn't even attend our church, but her sister does. And they called me, and they said that this mother, her baby had just died, a 2-week-old baby, she called her pastor. She attended a different church that didn't believe in the miraculous. And when she called her pastor, he said, "I'll be right there." And he came, he walked in, shook hands, and left, and didn't pray for anybody. And so they called the apostolic pastor who believed in the miraculous, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, "I'll be right there." And he got to the hotel, he got to the hospital. And when he got there, he said the family was just distraught. He said there was people lying on the floor just crying out, screaming with agony of the death of this child. And he said he walked in, and immediately he said, "Chris, I felt the gift of faith come right over me in the room where there was a dead child laying on the bed." He said, "So I just told the family." He said, "It took everything in my being to not scream and shout, because we apostolic preachers love to scream and shout." He said, "I just wanted to start shouting in the name of Jesus." He said, "But I felt like that wasn't the appropriate thing to do. So I told the family, I said, 'Can we just hold hands and gather around this bed?'" He said, "When I said that and we began to pray for a moment," he said, "one of the nurses and the doctor came in and said, 'We would like to pray with you, family.'" And so they gathered in the circle and they held hands. And he said these words. He said, "Lord, we welcome your presence into this place." He said, "Chris, you can believe me or not, but the moment I said that, I literally felt a wind blow into that room." He said, "And a sound came from that bed." He said, "And we looked, but the baby was still, his eyes were closed. There was no heartbeat, but we knew we had heard something." He said, "So I told him real quick, I said, 'Hold hands again, let's pray. Lord, we welcome your presence in this place. He said, Chris, I didn't even say the word healing. I didn't even tell God that the baby was dead. I didn't say nothing like that. I just said, Lord, I want your presence in this place. He said, the moment I said those words, another wind blew in that place. And all of a sudden, the baby's eyes opened up after a couple of hours of being dead and began to cry. And the nurse began to shout, saying, my God, I've just seen a miracle. The baby was born with kidney failure and even signs of Down syndrome, but they took the baby back and they did studies and came back out and said there's no sign of Down syndrome, there's no kidney failure, there's no sickness, there's nothing wrong with this baby. I'm going to give you about 30 seconds to just respond to the grace and power of God. That's about 20 seconds. You got 10 more. Come on. This may seem rhetorical, but I wonder if there's any apostolics in this place tonight that's ready to see healing take place in this church tonight. See, hunger says, I want it, God. No matter what it takes, I've got to have it, God. I don't need an invitation. I just need a pathway. I just need a road. I just need a way where there seems to be no way. I want everybody to stop praying right now. I want you to hear the word of the Lord right now. The thief has come to steal and kill and to destroy. Some of you have existed in just the realm of survival. Because the thief has come to steal, kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, but I have come. But I have come that you would have life and life more abundantly. While some of you have existed at the plateau of survival, and said, God, I'm good just getting by. Tonight, there is a spiritual persuasion in your soul right now. There is a spiritual hunger in your soul right now of a Syrophoenician woman that said, I'm not going back home to a devil-possessed daughter until you bless me. So if I've got to worship you and you won't even pay attention to me, if I'm a dog, I'll get the crumbs that fall from the master's table because I'm hungry for the miraculous. I'm hungry. And if all I can get is just a crumb, I'll get my crumb tonight. Yes, it's here. It's here tonight. It's here tonight. It's here right now. I want you to go after it for just a moment with your faith. When Brother Corbin will join me on the platform, he's going to help me. But I want you to continue to pray for just a second. I want everybody in this church, I want you to place your hands over your head right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I don't want you to pray, but I want you to speak the word of faith. I want you to speak words of faith like this. Every doubt is gone, and faith is in my mind. The light of your spirit is in my mind. Every darkness is gone. Every unbelief is gone. Every hesitation is gone. Every fear is gone. Healing will take place tonight. Speak that word of faith in your mind right now. God will use me. God will use my voice. God will use my hands. I am a vessel of God. I am hungry for the miraculous. Come on, lift him up for just a moment.
You go.
Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, come on, begin to pray over your mind. God, increase my faith in the name of the Lord Jesus. Ayanda roshatorokoya. We take authority over doubt in the name of Jesus Christ and cast it out in the name of Jesus right now. By the authority of the word of God and the power of the name of Jesus, we command doubt to leave our minds and our bodies in the name of Jesus. Ayanda Roshataya Ikondo Roshato Rokoto Roshataya. Right now in the Holy Ghost, if you have pain in your body, begin to step out of your seat where you are standing and walk your way down to this altar in the name of the Lord. If you have been diagnosed with a sickness, come to the altar now. Amen. If you're in a wheelchair, get to the altar. Wheel yourself somehow. Get down to the altar. It is very important that you move now in the Holy Ghost, because sometimes after the sickness has beat you to the side of the road, you don't know what to pray and how to pray. But you stepping out of where you were standing, your feet are praying for you in the name of Jesus. Each step you make is a step of faith in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. If you're on medication for anything right now, if you're on medication for not just the body but the mind, in the name of Jesus, emotions, in the name of Jesus, God's going to cause you to leave this place in your right mind in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Just a moment in the name of Jesus. I know you have already entered into the Holy Ghost. But to the best of your ability, look at me right now. I'm going to give you some quick instructions in the name of the Lord Jesus. And God's about to heal you and deliver you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. This God has set this night up in the name of Jesus. So you are standing here where you are. You know what you've been experiencing. You know what you, and I'm going to obey the Holy Ghost right now. There's a few of you that are standing in this altar that you can't. Thinking that you are bearing the curse of your DNA that has been passed down to you, an illness, a sickness from generation to generation. Tonight, in the name of Jesus, the Lord is going to break that chain in the name of Jesus. He's going to change your code in the name of Jesus Christ and connect you with the DNA of heaven. Ayanda roshataya. So here's what I want you to do. You know what you're struggling with. You know what you've been diagnosed with. You know what you're taking medication for. And so in the name of Jesus, in a few moments, we're going to pray a twofold prayer. The first prayer is going to be, it's really not a prayer, but a command. We are going to command that disease that is in your body to bow to the name of Jesus Christ. That's going to be your moment where you're going to come against it in the name name of Jesus, and you're going to, with that hunger to see God do a miracle in you, you're going to say, sickness, I take authority over you in the name of Jesus. I bind you and command you to leave my body, my mind, my emotions in the name of Jesus. And once you have done that, amen, it's so important that you do not pray in your mind at this moment. There's a time to pray in your mind silently on other times. And God can understand what you're asking of Him through your mind. But we are not praying in our minds right now. We are going to give voice to the miraculous in the name of Jesus. And we're going to speak to that disease in the name of Jesus to leave our bodies in the name of Jesus. Amen. Are you ready in the name of the Lord? The second thing we're going to do, as soon as you have opened your mouth and commanded that sickness to leave your body, or that emotional attack to leave your mind, amen, as soon as you have done that, then lift both hands in the air and begin to tell God, God, right now, in the name of Jesus, I receive your healing touch. I receive my healing tonight. Lord Jesus, I denounce this sickness. I denounce this pain. I denounce this emotional instability. I break that stronghold in the name of Jesus. And now I'm asking you to come and heal me in the name of Jesus. Are you ready? Are you ready tonight? I want to repeat it one more time. We're going to bind sickness. You've got to do it with your own mouth. You've got to speak it out. Amen. This is what I know in the Holy Ghost. There's somebody here with heart disease. You're going to walk out these doors with a healed heart in the name of Jesus. Diabetes is going to leave your body in the name of Jesus. Amen. Tendons are going to be restored in the name of Jesus. Nerves that were damaged are going to be restored and healed in the name of Jesus. Strength will return into your body. So right now, would you begin to rebuke that sickness? Come on, begin to speak it out of your mouth in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, by the authority of the Word of God and the power of the name of Jesus, we release the gift of faith in the house of the Lord tonight, and we bind every sickness that is here in the name of Jesus. We take authority over cancer, heart disease, diabetes, the attack of the emotions in the name of Jesus. We bind in the name of Jesus Christ.